It's 19:30 UTC on Friday, November 24th, and this is Zimbabwe Today.
I, Emerson Mnangagwa, say that as president of the Republic of Zimbabwe, I will defend you.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa being sworn in as only the second president in Zimbabwe's history.
Good evening, I'm Kutsunai Mutetwa.
And I'm Chidonjere on VOA's Zimbabwe Today. Zimbabwe on Friday saw its first new head of state in 37 years with the swearing in of former Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Robert Mugabe, the only leader Zimbabwe has ever known, was forced to resign earlier this week after 37 years in power. VOA's Anita Powell attended the historic inauguration in Zimbabwe's capital and brings us this report.
Zimbabwe's new leader was sworn in Friday in a pomp-filled, exuberant ceremony filled with music, dancing, dignitaries, and promises from new president Emmerson Mnangagwa.
I, Emmerson Mnangagwa, say that as president of the Republic of Zimbabwe, I will defend you. To Zimbabwe and obey, uphold, and defend the Constitution and all other laws of Zimbabwe.
President Mnangagwa won't have time to rest on his laurels and celebrate winning the job he clearly eyed for decades while serving as Mugabe's right-hand man. He will serve out the remainder of Mugabe's term, which is slated to end in mid-2018. Nevertheless, he laid out an ambitious program of economic, social, and political reforms.
For the time that I shall be president of Zimbabwe, I solemnly promise that I shall, to the best of my ability, serve everyone who calls and considers Zimbabwe their home. I encourage all of us to remain peaceful, even as preparations for political contestations for next year's harmonized, free and fair elections gather momentum. The voice of the people is the voice of God.
Attendees said they were most interested in the economic promises that Mnangagwa made, which comprised the majority of his speech. He said Zimbabwe would attempt to pay its international debts, would loosen import restrictions, and would work to make sure Zimbabweans could get easier access to hard currency, a promise which drew massive cheers in a nation where 9 currencies are legal tender, but where cash is woefully scarce. The 60,000-seat stadium in the capital was packed to the rafters with thousands of revelers who arrived several hours before the main event. But one absence stood out. 93-year-old Robert Mugabe was nowhere to be found among the front row of Southern African presidents, current and former. Mnangagwa, who was a close ally of Mugabe until Mugabe fired him earlier this month and set off the crisis that prompted Mugabe to resign, praised his predecessor and urged people to forgive. Some attendees traveled a long way for the ceremony, like 34-year-old Solomon Gatsa, who took a 5-hour bus from the nation's second city of Bulawayo. He offered the new president some simple advice.
The first thing is starting to change the economy. After that, the people have to have the job.
Emilia Majandari, who was 35, said she was less focused on the details of his speech. She said she has only ever known one president, Mugabe, and had to see this event in person.
I'm very excited. I wanted to see for myself. Is it real? I'm overexcited. The joy I have.
Mnangagwa, too, appeared pleased as he accepted the ceremonial sash and trappings of the presidency. But, he said, Zimbabwe has many, many challenges ahead. He told his people that for things to improve, everyone would need to get to work. Zimbabweans listened. However, the honking horns and the dancing in the streets of Harare Friday indicates that many people are taking a day to celebrate first. Anita Powell, VOA News, Harare.
In a wide-ranging inauguration speech, President Mnangagwa pledged to work with all Zimbabweans to build a better future. He led off by noting that, despite the mistakes the government made under President Mugabe, his predecessor holds a special place in history.
Let me, at this stage, pay special tribute to one of and the only surviving founding father of our nation, Comrade Robert Gabriel Mugabe. He led us in our struggle for national independence. He assumed responsibilities of leadership at the formative and a very challenging time at the birth of our nation. That is to be lauded and celebrated for all times.
He also made clear that agriculture will be key to an economic revival. The government will not change its controversial policy of seizing land from white farmers.
Given our historical realities, we wish the rest of the world to understand and appreciate that the policies and programs related to land reform were inevitable. Whilst there is a lot we may need to do by way of outcomes, the principle of repossessing our land cannot be challenged or reversed. The dispossession of our ancestral lands was the fundamental reason for waging the liberation struggle. It would be a betrayal of the brave men and women who sacrificed their lives if we were to reverse the gains we have made in reclaiming our land.
He pledged to make sure all investors, including foreign companies, would find a secure business environment. But he asked foreign nations that have imposed economic sanctions on Zimbabwe to work with his new government.
As we build a new democratic Zimbabwe, we ask those who have punished us in the past to reconsider their economic and political sanctions against us. Whatever misunderstandings may have subsisted in the past, let this make way for a new beginning. In this global world, no nation is, can, or need be an island. Isolation has never been splendid or viable. Solidarity and partnerships are and will always be the way.
We'd like to welcome Ray Choto from the VOA Zimbabwe service in studio to talk about the inauguration of Emmerson Mnangagwa as president.
You are welcome.
Thank you. Within his speech, President Mnangagwa asked for sanctions against Zimbabwe to be lifted. What are the actual specific sanctions that are targeted at the country and not just a few high-ranking ZANU-PF officials?
Yeah, when you look at the sanctions, we have a couple of sanctions that were imposed by the United States government in December 2001, and you also have sanctions that were imposed on Zimbabwe by the EU. But when you look at the EU side, some of them have been relaxed as a kind of way of encouraging the Zimbabwe government to be pro-human rights in terms of respecting human rights. But if when you look at the sanctions right now, these sanctions were targeted at individuals, including the president of Zimbabwe, the former president of Zimbabwe, President Robert Mugabe, his wife, and close allies, also including the new president, Mr. Emmerson Mnangagwa. He is on these sanctions. These sanctions were not targeted to Zimbabwe as a country, but these were specific targeted sanctions to individuals and entities that belong to the government of Zimbabwe.
Given that Zimbabwe does not have its own currency, in what ways can the president transform the economy and also ensure investors that their money will be safe?
The starting point for the new government under President Mnangagwa is to open up. They have to respect the rule of law. They have to respect the human rights. They have also to deal with the issue of white farmers whose land was taken by the government without compensation. I know it's a controversial issue, but when you look at it, these were white farmers who were born in Zimbabwe, who went to the bank, borrowed their money from the banks to buy these farms, And at the end of the day, the government comes and say, oh, we are taking over these farms without compensation. This was very unfair. And this is also a violation of international law. It's also a violation of human rights. And these farmers are entitled to some compensation. If the government shows the commitment to compensate these farmers, the international community would be in a position to help Zimbabwe.
Speaking of the farmers, so with the land reform policy staying the same, what does this really mean for white farmers and, you know, President Mnangagwa, like, made that, you know, compensation remark?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to that and I was a little bit surprised when he's talking about we still want to get our land from whoever has got that land. The truth of the matter is that from more than 4,600 farmers that we had, white farmers, in 2000, there are only less than 200 or 100 white farmers who are still practicing farming in Zimbabwe. And most of these were close allies of the former president of Zimbabwe, who is Robert Mugabe. They were also close allies of him, the new president, Mr. Emmerson Mnangagwa. There is no white farmer who is in Zimbabwe right now who has no allegiance to ZANU-PF, who is continuing farming. So I don't know how he's going to deal with this issue.
Considering that it is the same ZANU-PF ruling party, is there really hope for free and fair elections?
When I look at the past and what they have done, I would say there is no hope. But we are living in a world that is changing, and we have to be optimistic. We have heard Mr. Mnangagwa making a commitment to ensure that elections are going to be there and that Zimbabwe is for everybody. I think in that vein, he is talking about Zimbabwe for everybody, which would mean that he would respect the views of other people. But when we also look at recent developments, which sort of catapulted Mr. Mnangagwa to the presidency, we saw the involvement of the military, and the military has got a very bad record when it comes to elections in Zimbabwe. They denied the opposition in 2008, and I am not quite convinced that given a situation that ZANU-PF loses next year, they will be in a position to cede power to the opposition. I've got a problem with that.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was Ray Chocho of the VOA Zimbabwe service.
So, Harare National Sports Stadium was full of Zimbabweans dancing and singing for President Mnangagwa's inauguration. Those who were unable to be present for this occasion took to social media. Many praised the speech, but say action is needed, not just talk. Lachey says, speech, right tone, pragmatic, encouraging. The message is Zimbabwe is open for business. Pity about speech delivery. But oratory skills don't create jobs. Mugabe proved that. The young Mudambo says, this isn't how anyone thought a change of president would happen, but here we are. Now let's hold leadership accountable and push for system reforms that uphold our constitution. Grace Mavey says, it's not about speeches, but to hit the ground running.
Many Zimbabweans have expectations for their new government. Civil organizations gathered today to put together a document of their aspirations. Reporter Kudzai Zunawashe reports.
This morning, as thousands of Zimbabweans shuffled into the National Sports Stadium for the inauguration of their new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, thousands more headed to an urgent people's convention. More than 300 civic organizations gathered to settle on the policies and ways of governing they want to see now that Robert Mugabe's rule has ended. Joey Mabenge is the regional coordinator for Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition.
We expect the democratic space to open up, but we also expect the economy to be fixed and things to start ticking in terms of employment, education, health.
The intervention by the military in the past week remains an issue for debate as to whether it was a coup. Gift Ostalos is the spokesperson of Tajamuka, a social movement that staged many protests against the government last year.
The fundamental issue in our lifetime was the removal of Robert Mugabe by any means necessary, according to the citizens, unnecessary. Therefore, the actions of the army represents the will of the people and the establishment of a new government.
Analysts say the most viable way for Mnangagwa to run Zimbabwe will be through a transitional government that encompasses members of opposition political parties. Reverend Isaac Silumbu is the president of Hospitals and Prisons Care, a religious body that offers spiritual support and help to patients and prisoners.
It's important to have an inclusive because we also want people who have got the knowledge, people who are sympathetic, who have got the heart. And this heart I'm talking about is the heart of people.
Despite the calls for an inclusive government, Mnangagwa offered no indication a transitional government will be formed. Instead, he said the schedule for a national election in a few months has not changed. Mabenge shares a worry that many critics and stakeholders in Zimbabwe share.
We are witnessing a change of personalities, but the system that we've been fighting, the system that we've been struggling against, the system is intact. So civil society must be alive to the fact that the system is intact.
Protesting in Zimbabwe under Mugabe's rule was often met with force. Ostalo says activists remain willing to protest if the rule of law is not observed.
We feel like new batteries with new energy that if there is anything that goes ultra vires the provision of the constitution, we are going to take whoever is going to be found on the other side head on. That one we are prepared to go back to the streets.
At the convention, the civic organizations built a consensus that Mnangagwa should restore the rule of law and implement much-needed electoral reforms before the election. Their other demands include an effective National Peace and Reconciliation Board. They also want Mnangagwa to apologize for his role in Mugabe's repression. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zunawashe from Harare.
You're listening to Zimbabwe Today, live from Voice of America Studio 22. I'm Kudzinai Mutetwa in Washington. At 46 past the hour, we continue with news about Zimbabwe's momentous political change.
Over his years in power, Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party increasingly limited the news media and any outlets for criticism of the government. We have Kudzai Zinavashi again to report on whether there is hope for greater media freedom.
Emmerson Mnangagwa said the events taking place in Zimbabwe are the unfolding of a new democracy. Many people hope that means his government will do the opposite of what President Mugabe had done, particularly in terms of tolerating an open press and criticism from society. Nigel Onyamutumbu is the program's manager of Media Alliance Zimbabwe, a media watchdog. He explains how Mugabe gagged the media.
Since the growing opposition to former President Robert Mugabe's rule, the media has been under siege, the use of force. It was under President Mugabe's rule that the Daily News was bombed. It was under his rule that a good number of journalists were virtually made enemies of the state.
Nyamutumbu adds that oppressive legislation was one of many ways Mugabe controlled the media. Munyaradzi Dodo is an editor of two online publications and a content creator. He says the environment for the media turned even more hostile in the days before Mugabe's exit.
The police were clamping down on activists, raiding Magamba, arresting Martha O'Donovan. So the whole space was becoming very hostile.
Martha O'Donovan is an American who was arrested for allegedly insulting the president and trying to overthrow the government. Police later raided her employer, Magamba Network, and confiscated electronic devices. O'Donovan is currently free on bail and awaiting trial. Nyamutumbu says there are concerns that getting rid of Mugabe may not be enough to ease media restrictions, but he is cautiously optimistic.
On one hand, you tend to be skeptical because it is the very same guys that sponsored this repressive legislation, you know, that sponsored a host of laws that really try to sanitize the repression of the media. These are the very same guys. But at the very same time, I think the getting rid of Mugabe may present a dawn of a new era.
In Mugabe's last days, the government had been working on a bill to regulate online media. Dodo says the bill has no place in a democracy.
Personally, I'm hoping that they'll just kill that cyber security bill dead in the water, and it should not appear before parliament. If it does appear before Parliament, then we're in serious trouble as a country, and we should not believe anything Emmerson Mnangagwa says, because they will use that bill to clamp down on social media.
Nyamutumbu says, society and government need to take stock of all laws that infringe on media freedom and the right to free expression.
We really want the safety of journalists and media practitioners to be guaranteed. Journalism is not a crime. We really need to have a serious discussion on the policy environment. We do not need laws that inhibit a right for journalists to access information.
Nyamutumbu adds that Zimbabwe needs to open up and give room to community radio stations and other outlets to represent different voices within society. He also emphasized the need for more genuine private media, as many outlets are owned by senior ruling party members or government-owned companies. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
Among those watching the fast-moving events in Zimbabwe this week are many in the diaspora. VOA's Ndimeyake Mwakayaya reached out to a few, including Savannah Madamombe, a political activist in New York. She says she has mixed feelings over days of history-making changes.
As much as I am so happy this is what we've been asking for a long time, I'm also sad for what has transpired, for what has been and what should not have been. You know, this is a man who worked hard for our liberation struggle during his younger years, and at 93, he has to be humiliated in this way. And for the lives that have been lost throughout this struggle, I'm so sad, I'm emotional. And for the young generation that lost a lot, their dreams, their hopes and aspirations, they've just been on hold for a long time. So I'm very conflicted. Instead of celebrating right now, it's just hitting me that all these things should never have had to happen.
Madamombe says the new leaders should listen to the concerns of the people, and she says accountability should become part of the culture, practiced by the country's new leaders and even by citizens.
Are we accountable, even in the neighborhoods that we live? Are you throwing a piece of paper on the ground, would you expect it to pick it up? Simple things like that would now begin to unlock our nation as we move forward. It's not a responsibility for one person, because if we go back to what ZANU-PF and Robert Mugabe was asking us to do, to have one center of power, then we have a problem. We need to decentralize and distribute all responsibilities to all citizens.
Muzobadzi Ngube, who lives in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, says he hopes that Zimbabwean leaders have learned from the past mistakes. If they have not, he warns corruption will continue to endanger the future of the country.
I urge all the leaders, the opposition leaders and the leaders in the government of ZANU-PF, to really be mature in terms of coming together to negotiate with the interests of the people and the country. Because if once they come out of those two interests, then they are going to be doing the same thing that we have seen leaders piling cash in their houses. So I really, really urge them to be mature, to be genuine, and always remember why we went to the struggle in the 60s and 70s. I'm sure if they can do that with what they've just promised us, we are going to make a very beautiful and promising new Zimbabwe.
That was Hilda Nkomo in London, England. She was one of the many Zimbabweans in the diaspora who are expressing their joy over the change of government in their homeland.
We want our economy back. We want also people from America, people from the United Kingdom to have their business in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is the breadbasket. We are looking forward to that. If we can have people who want to join us there, we want to make Zimbabwe in a few years a record of economy. I feel like I'm dreaming, and it's real. What they have done, a lot of things in our lives that we had never dreamt of, that this old man, cruel old bugger, is going to step down.
We leave you now with this My Lily by Ja Prazer. Enjoy the music and join us again tomorrow.
That's it this evening on VOA Zimbabwe Today. I'm Kutsunai Mutetwa.
And I'm Chidonjere. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9:30 p.m. Zimbabwe time for the latest news and analysis in English. VOA Shona and Ndebele broadcast can be heard at 6 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. Zimbabwe time.
Stay with us around the clock on Facebook at Studio 7, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Shona, as well as our website, www.studio7news.com.